Parshas Chayesara begins, Vayu Chayesara Me'a Shana V'Yasrim Shana V'Sheva Shana M'Shnei Chayesara, that the life of Sarah Yimeinu was 127 years, the years of Sarah's life. And the Medrash comments that in her life, her years were complete and full. So the Chalban explains that although the limitation of time should define life as devoid of Nitzrius, when a tzaddik lives, he or she lives so completely and so fully that life rises above time. So the limits of physical life quickly give way to an eternal nitzchias that transcends the boundaries of time. And thus the life of Sarah Yimeinu was Shnei Chayei Sarah. She was Sarah in this life, and she is Sarah in the next life as well, complete and full. Torah later continues and tells us how Avraham Avinu decides that he was going to allow his wife to be buried besoch b'nei ches. And the Torah tells us Ephraim was sitting among the b'nei ches, and Rashi says, oh, so ayom, on that particular day, Ephraim was appointed Dayan over the people. Now, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria asks the obvious question, why was Avram so insistent later in the parsha on not taking a wife for Yitzchak from the daughters of Chet, even after they had demonstrated such kindness to him at the beginning of the parsha? Rav Neria answers that from Rashi's comment about Ephraim, namely that he became the Dayan, we learn a lot about the people of Chet. People are judged on the basis of what they value, and therefore whom they choose to lead them. It's an important statement about democracy in general. And so when Avram saw that Ephraim was outwardly a nice person, but internally he was interested in money alone, he saw that this was a staple idea of his people. That is to say, outwardly, they demonstrated one way, and internally, they acted in an entirely different manner. That is wholly inconsistent with the Avraham way of living, and so Avraham Avinu insisted, Lo sikach isha livni mi beno saknani. He didn't want a wife for Yitzchak from the children of Chet, whose value system was upside down from that which he found sacred. Avram also tells Eliezer, Lo sikach isha livni mi beno saknani. And why was Avram Avinu so concerned about that? One might argue that Avram was worried that a daughter-in-law would be unduly influenced by a character trait displayed in her in-law's home. And so therefore he said, do me a favor, don't let her come from Canaan. I don't want those values in my house. So then what then would be gained from finding Rivka a home where Besuel, or Besuel's wife, according to Rav Hirsch, who says that perhaps, by the way, Besuel was not the worst guy in the world. It was his wife, who doesn't become named at all, who was really evil. Or Lavan, who lived with Rivka, were all Ovdei Avodah Zarah. What would be gained? Maybe Rivka would become an Ovedes Avodah Zarah that would cause distress in the life of Yitzchak Avinu as well. Why is Ovdei Avodah Zarah homes better than the poor Midos of Canaan? So I had the privilege of listening to Rav Asher Weissel, Shalita, who quoted the Klei Yakar, who notes that the sins of Besuel's home were based on intellectual failings. That is to say, Besuel and his family were Ovdei Avodah Zarah because they had a mistake in their intellectual understanding of the way the world runs. But the sins of the Kenani were the sins in their characterological makeup. Sins of the intellect can be corrected when a person changes the environment and now is living in a home where ideas can be challenged and the truth can be discovered. But changing bad midos is much, much more difficult, as bad midos become entrenched in a person's upbringing and makeup, irrespective of what the person thinks. And so Avraham tells his servant, Lo sikach isha livni mi benos haknani. So the fact of the matter is, Eliezer goes to look for a wife in Ur Kasdim. And Eliezer davens and says, Vayoha na'ara sha'omar ilaha, she'll say, drink and then I'll give your camels to drink. That's the wife that has been predestined to be the wife for Yitzchak. Now, Rav Shachter used to point to us that this is actually upside down. Why did Rivka think that it was okay to give Eliezer water to drink before having him feed his camels? Isn't one first supposed to give the animals to eat and drink before he or she does? So Rosh Hashanah would quote Rabbi Soloveitchik, he used to say that the reason why animals go first in general is that animals never sinned b'zeyas apecha toch alechem. Man, on the other hand, sinned. And so man needs to work in order to earn his daily bread, but the animals didn't. And so therefore, when a regular man has to choose who comes first, so then the one who did not sin should precede the one who did. But when one is honoring a guest, one doesn't have a right to call his guest a sinner. And so Rivka was correct in saying, look, if Rivka was going to be the one to drink, she would have allowed the animals to eat first, which is what Eliezer did when he turned around and gave Mispo Lagmalim before he sat down to eat. But when it came time to taking care of the guest, as Rivka did, Rivka chose to feed Eliezer first, not to include him among the Rishayim, and thereafter take care of his camels. After he finishes taking care of the camels, that is to say, after Rivka finishes giving the camels to drink, the Torah says, "Vayikach ha'ish nezem zahav," right? That it was vayikasher kilu hagamalim lishtos. It was only after the camels finished drinking. Why did Eliezer wait until the camels finished drinking before rewarding Rivka for her kindness? Isn't the fact that she volunteered enough? So Rav Shimshon David Pinkus Zatzal quotes the Sforno, who said that Eliezer wanted to see if she was going to charge for her chesed. Even if she was only fishing for a compliment, it would have been a cause for some pause. However, Rivka merely turned in order to leave. To Rivka, doing a chesed was to be expected, and so therefore it didn't require a compliment. So Yitzchak, Eliezer winds up bringing Yitzchak's wife Rivka back to the land, and Yitzchak ba mi ba leber chayroi. Yitzchak is coming back from the ber chayroi in the south, and Rashi explains that he was coming to bring Hagar back to Avram so he could remarry her. The fact of the matter is, prior to this, Rashi had explained that Hagar had returned to Gilulei Beis Avia. So if that was the case, how could Avram Avinu allow an Ovedes Avodah Zarah to become his wife? So Rav Olba Zatzal answers that she never actually returned to Avodah Zarah. After all, she was known as Keturah, because, as we're told, Noyim Ma'aseh Keturis. Her activities were as blessed as the Keturis. Instead, the Torah, says Rav Olba, is castigating Hagar's immediate thought that she might return to her father. That thought alone gets her castigation, even though she overcame the thought. Rav Olba explains that therefore there's a danger in learning Chumash to assume that the great ones were small-minded and simple. And the simple text doesn't suffice in examining Hagar's supposed idol worship. We need to go a step further. Yitzchak brought Rivka vayivya Yitzchak ha'ol asara imo vayikach es Rivka vayavah. First, Yitzchak brought her into his mother's tent, and then he married her. Now, after all the miracles that Eliezer described, why did Yitzchak need to bring Rivka into the tent before deciding to marry her? So the Brisker Rav explains that even after seeing miracles, one needs to know that a person's a good person before choosing to marry him or her. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read about David HaMelech and the appointment of Shlomo. We also learn all about Adonio ben Chagis. Velo atzavo aviv mi'amav. His father never admonished him, saying, why do you do this? So the Rabbag and Mitzudas David both explain that Adonio thought that he should be king because his father never admonished him. Ever. That is, Adonio never heard his father tell him that he did anything wrong. And thus he assumed that whatever he was doing was consistent with Yira Shamayim always. And as such, he thought he was worthy of Melucha. So Rav Chaim Yaakov Govel, Sechet Tzadik Livracha, pointed out that often a Melech has to be able to understand the people well, including their imperfections. And thus he can never be totally perfect. No, the opposite is true of a Melech. A Melech needs to be rebuked. A Melech can't be in a situation where he's never able to have grown up to learn that there was a problem. A melech becomes a melech because he turns around and allows himself to grow in that regard. We too often need to turn around and realize that we make mistakes. and being able to hear and accept criticism, and at times being able to bring criticism, is something that builds us up. Hala v'hala, mala v'mala. Shabbat shalom to all.